Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Are you ready for the word? Oh, Father, thank you so much for our divine destiny written into us from before there was time. Thank you, Lord, that we combat the enemy with the truth. Lord, we will not join ourselves to lies or deception, but we will dare to believe the truth. We will dare to believe everything you say about us, no matter how good it is. And we love you. We bless you. Holy Spirit, teach us, grow us, mature us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and let's hold them up and say this together like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And He says, in Christ, I am cleansed, complete, and chosen. I am blood-bought, born again, and empowered. And I am dead to sin and alive unto God. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue our new series, Awakened Unto Righteousness. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to look at verse 17 and verse 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Literally in the Greek, a brand new species. Okay, not from one type of mouse to another type of mouse. How about from a mouse to an elephant? I mean, if you're in Christ, you're a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become, not a few things, all things have become new. Verse 21, how did it all happen? He made him who knew no sin, that's Christ, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We talked 2 weeks ago about the new creation revelation. Everybody say that with me. New creation revelation. Now, by definition of a new creation, I'm not who I used to be. Is that fair to say? If I'm a brand new species, if I'm a brand new creation, I am not who I once was. I don't know about you, but who I once was wasn't very righteous, wasn't very holy, and wasn't very clean and close to God. But I am no longer that young man. I'm this new young man. Some of you didn't get it, but hey, maybe that's good. Maybe that's a good thing. You know, Jeremy talked last week about every one of us who are born again have been made kings and priests in the kingdom of God. All that's left to do is believe it. All that's left, if Christ has made that happen, if he's done that and made that possible, all that's left is to believe the good news. Believe what God has done in us through Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. Believe what God has done in us. How many of you know when you did get born again, your outward appearance didn't change? But inside, you absolutely changed. And so what you do or don't do does not make you who you are. Are you listening? What you do or don't do doesn't make you who you are. What God has done inside you makes you who you are. Amen. And all you did was consent. You cannot save yourself. You cannot birth yourself by a righteous and holy spirit. How many of you know only a righteous, holy, and holy God could birth you by the Spirit? Only God can make sons and daughters after his own kind. So what did you do? You consented. You received, you accepted, and now every day you walk that identity out by faith. I didn't say by feeling. By what we see. By how we act. No, by faith every day. I live out my identity in Christ. I had mentioned, you know, in the True You book about the WBT example. We thought about making some shirts that said WBT. And all that meant was I described us as a tall drink of water. Everybody ever been called a tall drink of water before? All right, so you got a tall drink of water. That's us. And then you got Christ. He's the tea. And when tea is introduced into water and you mix it up to make tea, right? You don't call it water anymore. It's something new. Now it's tea. And you can't tell in that glass of water where the tea begins and the water ends. Why? Because they've become one. That's what happened in your spirit, man. You became one with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So that's what happened in your spirit, man. That's why you are tea. You're no longer the dirty old glass of water. You are tea. Cool, refreshing drink. I want to go back and revisit the prophetic word from August the 9th at 5 a.m. Kind of started us on this path. Here's what the Lord said. Awaken unto your true identity. Arise to who I say you are. You're not an unrighteous being trying to be righteous. Boy, you think it might be frustrating for people to try and go be something they don't even believe they are. Well, I know I'm not righteous. I know I'm not holy. I know I'm really unclean. But hey, today I'm going to go be righteous. That's like a cat saying, I'm going to go be a dog today. Imagine the frustration and calamity when you got a room full or churches full, the body of Christ full of people who are trying to go be something they don't even believe they are. Boy, let that just nestle. I mean, so what do we got to do? We got to believe it. We got to believe we're a brand new creation, like the Bible says. God says, I'm not asking you to be something you're not. I'm admonishing to be who I put you in, who I put in you to be who I say you are, to be who I created you to be. Your enemy wants to deal with your behavior. I want to deal with your belief about yourself. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Therefore, be careful what self-views and definitions you allow into your heart and mind. Be careful who and what you let define you. Come on, somebody. Do they line up with me? Do their words line up with my words about you? Because if what they're saying about you is not the same as what I'm saying about you, they're wrong. If you will but awaken unto your righteousness, tremendous empowerment in this season awaits. And then Brother Clay Powell, we had a prophetic word 2 weeks ago. Here's what the Lord said to you all. He said in service, he said, you are God's kingdom asset. You're my kingdom asset, highly valued and assigned where you're at based on my value of you. You mean God values me? Yes. You know how many of us think Jesus died for us because we're just wretched sinners who make a bunch of mistakes? He died for you to show you you have value to God. And he showed you, in dying for you, he also did it to put you back towards your true identity. Your real destiny. Because your destiny is not to be a sinner. See, we think he just died for us because we're just a bunch of screw-ups. No, he died to cleanse us from all sin. Yes. But he also died to reveal to you, you have value to God. And you were not destined for sin. So I'm going to separate you from sin and put you back in righteousness. Amen. Amen. So he says, you're assigned where you're at based on my value of you. You're my resource. You're who I have. Wouldn't church be fun if we just sat around and prayed that God would change the world? Oh God, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I hope you do something. No, you're in the drawer. You're who he's got to use. We're partners in this thing. You're perfectly made for it. God is spirit. And guess what you have? You have spirit and you have earth. So we access the spirit and we change the earth. More on that in a little bit. Give you a little insight to what's going on in our nation. But you're able to access the spirit and touch the earth. You're perfectly designed for this task. You don't even have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. Just be in the drawer. God never, when has God ever said, hey, what are you bringing to the table? Hey, how much money you got? Right? Hey, Nikki, what can you do for me? Nikki, how much money you got? Because I'm thinking about using you. No, he'll take anybody. Why? Because he's going to supply everything that's needed. Amen. Amen. Well, then, I guess we're all on the table then, right? We're all in the game. Man, that's right. Just show up. Isn't that something? Here we spend our whole church lives trying to get qualified. And he never once wanted to know what you were bringing. Amen. And we get tricked into thinking, well, Lord, I just don't have enough holiness. Your holiness is filthy rags to me. Don't bring your holiness to me. Bring a willing heart and I'll make it holy. Amen. The only good, acceptable holiness is going to come from Almighty God, not from a human being. You know that. You know that's true. Okay, I keep getting off this word. So he says, you're my resource. I filled you with my spirit. You're an outpost, fully sourced. Deep pockets. You're fully sourced and placed strategically as an oasis in a dry and thirsty land. You must be here on purpose for purpose. And you've got supply. Jesus said all of heaven's resource belongs to those who are poor enough to receive it. Not the most deserving, the most receptive. That's who the kingdom belongs to. Well, that's powerful. Remember when Jesus said, go and sell all you have. You won't need any of it. Go and sell all you have and follow me. And the rich man, he went away sad, sorrow. Have you ever noticed that all the footsteps leading away from Christ are filled with sorrow? All of them. Yeah. He went away sorrowful because he was walking away from the one he was made for and really the one whose resource he needed. Amen. So you've been placed strategically as an oasis in a dry and thirsty land. You are a supply station for the starving. Now this is a prophetic word God gave 2 weeks ago on a Sunday morning, interrupted our service. How many know it's his service, not ours, okay? Little play on words there. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 6:11. Paul had listed off, you know, idolaters, adulterers, fornicators, liars. But look what he said, and such were some of you. He didn't say you used to do those things. Yeah, you used to lie. Now you don't lie. You used to be one. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, again, the revelation of new creation has all kinds of empowerment to you. I got to give it to you one more time. I just love the cat here. He's so empowered, right? I mean, this cat, he's not having a bad day. He's not trying to convince himself. You're good enough. You're strong enough. You know, whatever. He is looking at himself after the Spirit. He refuses to see himself by the flesh, by natural eyes, because there's one inside of him that is unconquerable. There's one inside of him that's invincible. And he's saying, you know what? I'll never face anything outside of me bigger than who's inside of me. Amen. It's such a powerful revelation. This cat here. You say, well, Pastor Steve, my parents told me that I'd never amount to anything. I don't care what your parents said about you. I don't. I mean, I care, so I'm sorry about that. But if what they say about you is different than what your father says, what God says, then they're wrong. Well, you don't understand. I have friends, you know. I have an ex. I have this. I have that. If it's different than what God says, they're wrong. Well, you don't understand. Sometimes I don't feel, okay? If your feelings are contrary to what God says about you, your feelings are mistaken. They're wrong. My feelings are everything. Really? Your feelings can't discern truth. Go watch a scary movie today. You'll feel scared. Is there anything real about what you're watching? Anything truthful about it? No. Just pull the camera back and you'll see a big fuzzy boom mic right there. As soon as you see that, it'll be like, oh. Isn't that what God does? Pulls back the illusion. Woo-hoo! We just tap something right there. He just pulls back the view to reveal the illusion. You realize the enemy's only tool is deception. That's his only tool. He's banking on that if he goes into your 7-Eleven with his finger in his pocket like this, stick him up, that you're going to buy it. All he has is deception. Amen. Well, that's good stuff. Well, how can you say this about my parents? How can you say this about friends I had and that ex who said that about me? How can you say this about my feelings? Here's how I can say it. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Are you ready? It's profound. God cannot lie. God can't lie. Titus 1, 2. It's not that he won't lie. He can't lie. If he says this carpet is blue, it turns blue. Whatever he says is truth. It's reality. Amen? So many times we base our value and our identity on how we behave. We've been trained in this since we were children, right? My value is based on how I behave. So as a child growing up, if I do bad, pretty soon I realize I am bad. I feel bad. So this performance-based identity, performance-based value is ingrained in us. From the time that we're children. And we teach against that. Remember, you gotta tell your children, you're a 10. Now what you just did is a 2. So you gotta separate who they are from their performance. Where'd we learn that? Him. Do you realize he has the ability to separate you from your performance? He is not assigning value to you based on what you're doing. He's assigning value to you based on who he created you to be. Somebody ought to give God praise. He's assigning value based on who he created you to be. So we do a big piece of stupid and then we're like, well, how can God love me now? You want to know why? Because he knows your value and identity is not based on what you did. He knows your value and identity is based upon who he made you to be. He knows your value. He made you. What if the only reason that you're stumbling in sin is because you've been deceived, you've been tricked, you've been duped? So what does he do? He sends the truth. Amen. The truth shows up, not in a book or a text message or an email that got deleted. The truth shows up in human form. And he says, and I quote, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And here's the mistake. The church said, oh, okay, Jesus, yeah, he's the way to get to heaven. So let's all do what he says. And when we die, we can go to heaven. Hey, that may be true. Jesus is the way to heaven. But he's also saying, I am the way you're designed to live. Amen. I'm the truth about you. Live as spirit-born sons and daughters. That's what I'm revealed. This is how life is to be lived as a human being. So he came in human form so we wouldn't miss it. And then the church exalted Jesus and put him on this pedestal and kept everybody else in the dark and in our old nature. You don't honor Jesus by saying he has it all and you got nothing. You're terrible. If you want to honor Jesus, you say, thank you, Jesus, for making me and giving me everything that you have. Everything you are is in me. Come on. Everything you are is in me. That's how you honor the Lord. Accept what he's done for you. Don't walk around kicking rocks and saying you're garbage. That's unbelief. God doesn't say you're garbage. Amen. God knows your value and identity is based on who he created you to be. So the truth and reality of your divine design as a human being doesn't fluctuate with your outer missteps. Do you see how locked in the natural we are? How locked into feelings we are? We make an outer misstep and we think automatically, that's me. I'm terrible. I'm no good. Your divine design and your value as a human being doesn't fluctuate with outer missteps. Your value was put in you when he made you. When he formed you. So we've been conditioned to think again, Jesus died for us because of all our mistakes, when he actually also died for you to reveal that you have value to God. You're important to him. Do you see this? And also to restore your identity. I'm going to separate you from sin because that's not who you are. I'm going to marry you to righteousness as a gift. Why? Because that's who God designed you to be. That's where your value is, where your esteem is, where your identity is. How many of you know Jesus didn't die for me or even as me and leave me a sinner? Amen. You do know this, right? You've been coming here a while. He didn't die for you to leave you a sinner. He died for you to break sin, separate it from you, and put you right here where you're designed to be for righteousness. For righteousness. Despite the fall, the image of God and our divine design, our divine purpose was not ripped from us. Our value wasn't ripped from us just because we fell. The image of God written into you was not ripped out of your body because of the fall. You're still made for righteousness. You're still made for godliness. You're still made to walk with Him in the cool of the day. You're still made for that. That has not changed. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not like God said, well, I guess we'll throw away that plan. They're really just a bunch of garbage. I'll tolerate them until I send Jesus back. Your value never changed. The image of God wasn't taken from you. More on that later. The prefix re means to take back to original intent. So if He restores you, if He reconciles you, if He redeems you, what's He doing? He's taking you back to your original state, your original design, the original plan, the original identity. Amen? See, in the natural dimension, the world judges me for what I do and don't do. But in the spiritual dimension, I'm judged for what I'm created to be. In the spiritual dimension, I'm judged by truth, Romans 2:2, the truth about me. In the natural, I'm judged for what I do and I don't do by everybody else. In the spirit, I'm simply judged for who I'm created to be. Will I discover it? Will I dance with it? Will I believe it? And guess what? The Holy Spirit invites you and me into that identity every day. Every day we're invited into that reality by the Holy Spirit, who we're created to be. John 16, verse 8, He convicts us, the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. Sin, because they don't believe. What's the sin of the New Testament? Unbelief. And He convicts us of sin. So every day He's inviting you into truth. He's inviting you to truth about yourself. He's inviting you to truth about Him. That He's not mad at you. That He loves you. Amen. That He wants to walk with you in the cool of the day still. None of that was changed. Jesus got it all back for us. And then the truth about how life is to be lived. Amen. And if you dance with these truths, you are a free person. The world has nothing on you.
Thank you, Lord.
OU can lose their season opener and you're still free. Aren't you guys glad I've been preaching against that for 2-3 weeks? Don't put all your happiness eggs there. Amen. Today's politicians, here's what I want to tell you about our country. Most of today's politicians are naturalists. Okay, you need to look that up. They're naturalists. They believe that the only dimension and reality there is in the natural. And the church adopted it. The church tried to do away with all supernatural activity because it didn't meet with their feelings and experiences. Be careful when you hone your doctrine based on your life experience instead of based on truth. Come on, somebody. Most of our politicians are naturalists. They believe the natural is all there is. Here's the definition. Naturalism is the belief that only natural laws and forces operate the world, as opposed to supernatural or spiritual laws. Naturalism holds that spirits and deities are not real. So ultimately, they're atheists. And this is what we're dealing with in Europe, and then every politician here who wants America to be like Europe. Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. She knows what I'm talking about. Now, here's the weird thing. The church is, we're supposed to be people of the Spirit. We're people of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. Children of God, who is Spirit. So we are not naturalists, church. We are dimensionalists. In other words, we take of the Spirit and we shape the natural with it. There is spiritual law and life at work in my heart, and it affects everything that comes out of me in the natural. Does this make sense to you? So as I was saying earlier, you're incredibly designed to be God's partner. He's in the Spirit. He's got truth. He's got spiritual law. How many of you know he'd do a great job governing the United States of America? The Spirit of God governing individual human hearts. We'd close all the jails. There'd be so much benevolence, we wouldn't need welfare. No war, no, why, we wouldn't even need police, right, if we don't have any jails. I guess we can have one out there every once in a while, in case something goes wrong. But God is a great governor, and he governs by the Spirit. And so his people access the Spirit and influence the natural with it. Let me ask you this question. Jesus Christ, who said he's the way, the truth, and the life about himself and about God and all of us, did he ever just succumb to how the natural was? Did he ever demonstrate anything that there might be a reality beyond what is seen? This guy announces. John the Baptist did it first, Matthew 3:2. Repent because the kingdom, there's a kingdom, there's a dimension. And he called it the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He also used it interchangeably with the kingdom of God. Only a fool would think there is no spiritual dimension. Only an absolute blind fool. And I don't blame them for it because, right? They're deceived. You really don't know the truth till you meet him. Right? No one knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. So Jesus Christ comes announcing, Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist says, Matthew 4:17, Jesus says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is here. And then he goes about demonstrating the reality of a dimension that supersedes natural things, even like disease and sickness. They could, even death, even natural death bowed its knee to this other dimension. Isn't that something? Jesus came proclaiming and demonstrating and announcing the presence of another dimension. And then Pilate said, are you a king? He said, you say rightly, I am a king, but my kingdom is not from here. It's not an earthly origin. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit right now. Oh my, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up right now. My kingdom, literally he said, is not of earthly origin. But you say rightly I'm a king, because there is a dimension where I rule that I want to influence, and I have laws and that govern the spiritual world, and I want those laws governing the natural. It is written in the Bible, the Lord has established his throne in the heavenly realm, but his kingdom rules over all. It rules over the natural and the spirit. And everywhere with incredible precision, human beings and the natural world bow its knee to the Spirit of God governing them. You have righteousness, peace, and joy without exception. Amen. Go ahead and give him praise. Without exception. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We have tapped something here. He came announcing, proclaiming, preaching the reality of, and then demonstrating that there's this dimension that supersedes even natural sickness and disease that could overcome natural death. We are of this dimension. Do you see? We're people of the Spirit. We're not to be just carnal, natural people like the world. Wow. Man. Well, that's just confirmation, Clay, because Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for showing this to us. Thank you that we have seen that we're not to succumb to just this naturalism and all this agenda and this indoctrination. Forgive us. But Lord, we want to be people of the Spirit. How many times have you said, walk by the Spirit, walk by the truth? Lord, we want to reveal the realities of the Spirit of heaven. We want to reveal the realities of the kingdom of God. Touching heaven and changing earth every day, every moment. Touching heaven, changing earth. that even sickness and disease bow their knee to this other dimension. We are not a church. Remember this prophetic word? He said, you're not a church, you're a kingdom. What did he say? You're kingdom ambassadors, you're kingdom outpost.
Yes, Lord.
Governing authorities.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank
Can we just, let's just open our hands.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we want to be people of the Spirit. That's what we're saying.
Lord.
We want to be people of the Spirit. And forgive us for our carnality. But may we abide in you, Lord. May we abide in you. May we walk by the Spirit and walk by the truth and become humble, humble, humble conduits and demonstrations and proclaimers of the dimension of the Spirit that truly changes and frees a man. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's clap our hands. Thank you, Lord. Wow. So precious, so precious, so precious. So he invites us into this reality. People of the Spirit, ambassadors of this kingdom, dimensionless. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, this is a New Living Translation. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his, look at this, gift of righteousness. What is it? Gift of righteousness for all who earn it. No, for all who deserve it. For all who receive it. What is the criteria for possessing the spiritual kingdom of God and all that it is? Receiving. Acknowledging your need of it. Jesus told the Pharisees, if you all would simply admit you're blind, your sins would be forgiven. But because you go around and tell everybody you can see, your sin remains on you. Because you won't acknowledge you need God. You trust in your religious system. You trust in your religious behavior. And you trust in your religious rituals. You need to trust in God to save your soul. Amen. I just love this. It's grace. It's the gift of righteousness. And it's for all who receive. And then what happens? We live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Through the one man, many became sinners. Through the one man, the many will be made righteous. Through the gift of righteousness. So there are benefits to the gift of righteousness. There are reasons that God gifted this to you and said, instead of saying, hey, go earn your way. Let me give this to you. Let me bring you in right standing with me. That's what righteousness means. Right standing with God. Let me do this for you. And the first reason is your sanctification. Sanctified living. Look at this. Sanctification is the process whereby, how many of you know it's a process? Every day. Marriage is one of the great crucibles for the process. Sanctification is the process whereby a Christian becomes more and more like Christ in their thoughts, character, emotions, and actions. How many of you, God can use your marriage to do this, right?
Yeah.
Man, he can use your job. He can use your football team. More and more like Christ. Thoughts, character, emotions, action. Historically, to sanctify also means to set apart, to make holy, or to make sacred. You know the word holy literally means one. It means one. In other words, my outer actions are one with my inner character. My outer actions are one. They're the same as what I am inside. So, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. How many of you know there are grace people out there? They just kind of wink at sin. Kind of like, it's no big deal. We can do whatever we want, right? We're free and grace is a person. There's no way if Christ is indwelling you, you can go out and live in sin and be okay with it. There's no way. Absolutely impossible. Why? Because sin will wreck you. And he loves you too much to let you go live in something you're not made for. Amen, somebody. So we don't wink at sin. I told you, I was at Panera Bread, Midwest City. Remember, and I told that waitress, no, I don't have my receipt. Because they lost my meal 3 times. Remember, and I got in the flesh because everybody else was done eating. I was hangry. Hey, But I came out of that. I'm like, you know, I examine myself. I don't want to wink at that. I want to be sanctified. I want to become more and more like Christ. And you know, food is one of the crucibles. I got to get better when I'm hungry. Right, honey? When I'm hungry, I'm not always manifesting Jesus. Or if I'm sleepy. Oh, we're having a good time. So I think everybody in this room, everybody in the body of Christ, all believe we need to resemble Jesus more and sin less, right? I think we all agree, okay, yeah, that's God's will for us, but how we get there, oh my goodness. There's all kinds of debates in the body of Christ, right? Well, how we get there, right? We don't wear makeup, or we don't wear high heels, or we don't believe in this, or we don't do that. Here, are you ready for what I subscribe to? What the elders of this church and the leadership of this church subscribes to? You need to get it. Sanctification by identification. You gotta have it. If you're gonna be a grace churcher, you need that. It's what we are. We believe and subscribe to sanctification. Yes, we're all in on sanctification. But how does it happen? By not wearing makeup? No, by identification and the free gift of righteousness. I'm not going to be sanctified by what I do. I'm going to produce more sanctified living the more I dare to agree that I've been made righteous. And that I've become a new creation indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. So we got a Holy Bible. We got the Holy Spirit. We serve a holy God. I think holiness is something God's fairly interested in. He likes it. And he put inside of you the Holy Spirit. Now, would he have done that if you're not clean? You're going to tell me the Spirit of the living God who is holy going to be living inside you if he hadn't eradicated your sin issue? Now he has eradicated it. What are you going to do with it? Dance with it. Believe it's true. I'm clean. I'm close before God. Sin looks a lot different now. I'm not going to enter into that because I'm not made for sin. I'm made for righteousness. And the righteous Holy Spirit lives in me. As a young believer, I wanted to quit sinning. I really did. My desires had changed. How many of you know when you get born again, your heart changes? I didn't want to sin. And so I wanted to figure out with the church people I was with, how do I quit sinning? And I couldn't get anybody to tell me how. They would take me to the law. Well, don't do that or God will smite you down. How many of you know it's hard to have a relationship with somebody, intimacy with somebody who's going to smite you? If you fail, they take me to reward and punishment. Well, if you'll do good, he'll reward you. Well, that only lasts a little while. Blessing and cursing, same thing. And then they'd say, well, just have faith. You'll never sin. You just have faith. Or how about this one? Just give it to God. I know you're struggling. Give it to God. Well, what does that even mean? Why didn't they just tell me who God had made me to be? Just tell me who I am. Isn't that what every human being is looking for? Look at the gender crisis in our nation. Somebody please tell me the truth. That's all the humans are saying. I just need to know who I am. And unfortunately, we've groomed a society that if they feel something or think something, oh, that's who I am. No, not every thought or feeling you have is coming from God, your creator. Not every thought and feeling you have is him telling you something. There is a deceiver. Amen, somebody. Just tell me I was made for righteousness. Just tell me to live out my righteous identity in Christ I had been given. How about this? Just tell me I was a new creation. That I'm not who I used to be. Tell me to walk by the Spirit. Tell me to reckon myself dead to sin and alive unto God. Tell me to renew my mind to the truth, no matter how good it was. Tell me that, you know what, you're not always going to feel close to God, but he'll never leave you or forsake you. He is with you. Don't go by your feelings. Live by the truth. Amen? And just tell me, don't let your actions, don't let your emotions, don't let the opinions of others, don't let your self-view ever override the truth. Because you're not going to determine the truth about you. It's already been determined. God determined the truth about you. They could have said, you know what, Steve, your body is for the Lord and the Lord is for your body. So when you're tempted, just present the members of your body as instruments of righteousness because your body is for the Lord. How many of you have ever struggled with temptation? About 17 of you. Amen. I need to hang out with the rest of you. You rub off on me. When you're tempted, one of the best things to do, and I may get into next week. Okay, I won't say it. He's talking to me about getting into something, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. when you're tempted, one of the best things you can do instead of fight hard and willpower and won't power and blood, sweat, and tears is present the members. Represent your body, your hands, your feet, your mouth, your mind to the Spirit of God. And just say, Lord, I present these to you as instruments of righteousness. I'm not my own, I'm yours. So that's a whole lot better than working hard, trying to resist something you're looking at like this. Come on, don't do it, Steve. I'd rather rest and say, you know what, Lord, I humble myself. I submit. Instruments of righteousness. I'm yours, not mine. Amen. My hands and feet like to play basketball, but that's not why I have them. I have them to praise God. That's why I have hands and feet. I have them to glorify Him. I have hands and feet. I have a mouth and all those things. I have them as instruments of righteousness. Friends, this is my divine design. I am made for righteousness. When He died for me, He wasn't just doing it because I had sinned. He's showing me the value I have to God, the worth and the original identity He needed to win me back to. That's what He's showing me. Jeremy, you guys can go ahead and come. Amen, amen, amen. Saints of God are going to produce a whole lot more righteous behavior by hearing ample truth about who they are in Christ, more than hearing every week how bad they are, how unrighteous sinners they are. God just signed off on. He really doesn't like you. And if you'll just, you know, go to church and try to be holy, He won't kill you. That's not very empowering. So God, through the gift of righteousness, says, let's let righteous behavior be the byproduct of our intimacy, not the basis for it. The byproduct of our intimacy is good behavior, not a reward, not the basis of whether I'll hang out with you. This means that righteousness is not something I'm trying to live up to. Righteousness is now something I'm living out of. Did you get it? Righteousness now, because it's been gifted to me, is not something I'm trying to live up to. Go be something I don't even believe I am. Righteousness is now, because it's gifted to me, something I live out of. It's been supplied to me. Do you see? Amen, preacher? Is right. Last one. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awaken unto righteousness and sin not. You know which one comes first. Dare to believe that Romans 5 is true. He has gifted you something. He's gifted you right standing with Him. You're so right with God, He moved inside your temple. The original temple has been rebuilt. It is the body of Christ. And He's moved back inside of us. And if we would just, with the faith of a mustard seed, believe it, we could heal this world. And we could become demonstrations of a spiritual world, a spiritual reality that could totally transform the natural. You believe that? Will you stand with me? Amen. Go ahead and give God praise this morning. My goodness. If you're here today and you have never accepted the person of Jesus Christ, He's very much alive, He's spirit, and you have never invited Him into your heart, and you want to do that today, if that's you, would just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Christ inside. Anybody? Anybody? But will the gathered church, will you open your hands for me? I already know what your heart is. I already know the answer because it's one with mine right now in this moment. We are one in the Spirit. Lord, use us to be a proclaimer and a demonstrator of an alternate dimension, Lord, that exists, a spirit of God that is filling the earth and has filled our hearts. And that's what makes us different. That's why we're not so easily overcome. Our hearts are not for sale to the world, because our hearts belong to another. And I pray, Lord, as we open our hands to you. Well, I don't know if some of you feel that. Some of you got heat on your hands right now. That is simply a kiss from the spiritual dimension, the presence of His Spirit. Some of you are going to be on your porch early in the morning and you're going to sense the presence and reality of the Spirit. Oh Father, oh Father, oh Father, oh Father, Father, we cry out to you. Others of you, you may have heat on your lips, you may have heat on your head. It's just a little kiss from the Holy Spirit. I am real. I am here. Would you use us, Holy Spirit, to be ambassadors of a whole nother dimension? And would you wipe away once again all of our unbelief, that we really do receive this gift of righteousness, right standing, and purity that you've given us. May we be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ who may not know the truth about this. But Lord, may we also be endued with power and ambassadors for those who don't know you, don't know anything of the sort or the realities of your Spirit. Use us there as well, Lord. Wear change in your pocket. Invest us in this world. Sow us. That all the world may see our good works and glorify our Father who lives in heaven, who lives in the spiritual realm. We thank you for all these things and more. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Do you have anything? Brian, do you have anything?
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.